Blog Talk Radio.
This broadcast is a production of KRH Media Services.
Good morning, humans. Up and at 'em. It's a beautiful day. Not a cloud in your sky. Remember.
Hello out there. My name is Kevin Richard Hote, and welcome to A Different Drum. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a drummer and music composer. I've also enjoyed careers as a professional photographer, a journalist, and a marketing specialist. So needless to say, I know a thing or two about the creative realm, and that's basically where this podcast series is going to dwell. I'm sitting in the studio today with Matthias Bork, a.k.a. Mabo, that's M-A-B-O, as he is known in the art world. He's not a newcomer to our location of Ontario, Canada. In fact, he's been involved in a number of creative projects around our area. He's also the former owner of a very popular Thai restaurant known as the Spicy Thai, which he owned and operated from 1989 to 2004. He's been creating art since the mid-1980s, and when he sold the restaurant in 2004, he was able to concentrate more full-time on his love of abstract expressionism. His paintings are full of vibrant colors, interesting geometry, texture, and excitement. Greetings, sir, and welcome. Would you prefer that I address you as Mabo or Matthias?
Matthias is fine. Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're most welcome. Okay, let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
Okay, yes, like you said, Matthias Bork is my name, known as Mabo. I am a visual artist. I paint, I sculpt, and I create. In other words, I make people happy.
Bork is my name.
I was born and raised in Germany. Bingen on the River Rhine is my hometown. Please look it up. It's a beautiful place.
Make people happy.
After schooling and my professional education in the culinary arts, my military service in the German Navy, and years spent in Sweden and Thailand, I packed my bags one more time and I left for Canada. That was 1986, so just about 30 years ago.
Okay, so why Canada?
I followed a little boy's dream. Since I can remember, I was fascinated by the history and beautiful nature of Canada, the huge forests, rivers, creeks, and lakes, and I wanted to come to the land of the Hurons, Mohawks, and Chingachgook. I love Canada. I still do.
I concur with you there, for sure. So let's get into a bit of your background, specifically your creative background. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. I call it the three arts: food arts, martial arts, and visual arts. By trade, I'm a master pastry chef, baker, chocolatier, pâtissier, and food artist. Someone might think, yeah, this is one and the same thing. Not really, but without discussing further the differences, I would like to point out that they all have one thing in common. It's an art form. You create something beautiful in the food arts to reward someone's taste buds and eyes. I'm also a martial artist. Since I was 7, throughout my childhood, teen years, and as recently as 5 years ago, I was very involved in the traditional fighting arts. I'm getting a little too old now, the physical form of martial arts, but the internal and meditative form still helps me to focus, relax, and concentrate, especially when I work on larger art projects. And last but not least, of course, the fact that I was born into a family of artists. My mother was a pianist. My father was a master painter. So was my grandfather. And my older brother continues the family tradition, now in the third generation, a painting and decorating firm founded in 1924 by my grandfather. So basically, I was always surrounded by paint, color charts, wallpaper symbols, fabrics, and all kinds of possible shades and colors. The smell of paint thinner, turpentine, and oil paint was always present. And from a young age on, my father taught me how to draw with charcoal, pencil, and watercolors. I used to watch him when he mixed his paints, and that was at a time when computerized color matching programs didn't exist. And he was able to match a color symbol for a client just perfectly. It was just amazing. I learned a lot from my father. He was my hero. My dad has always been a very important influence in my life, so naturally art was always part of it.
Beautiful. Is there any other specific training that you've had to date?
Well, I did the college in Germany for 5 years. I attended Navy school when I did my military service, but I also attended art schools in Canada, sculpting classes in Mexico as well, as lots of courses and classes, mostly most of them about art in one way or another.
Okay, so in reference to your medium, what medium do you use and what particular methods do you apply?
I work with everything. During my years as a pâtissier and food artist, I've made chocolate sculptures, statues from butter, marzipan or tragant. I carved the ice, etc., etc. Nowadays, I work with wood, plaster, concrete, clay, acrylic or oil on canvas, wall murals, carvings too, pretty much everything. I would say I call myself a philosopher, a poet of colors.
A poet of colors. I like that.
Art is my way to express myself. Basically, I write a poem without words. And I usually do not plan things in advance, maybe with the exception of a commission. I do a lot of research there. But I just let it happen. But I must admit, my favorite style is abstract.
Brilliant. So what exactly are the methods that you use?
I guess I use all known methods, like applying paint with a brush, a roller, hands, spatula, knife, or I use a spray bottle, I pour, I splash, I drip, I drop, or I throw paint. By the way, that makes a big mess. That's pretty messy.
No doubt.
I also use my very own techniques, techniques I've developed and perfected over the years, and never do I use a sketchbook.
Never?
Never. I work without fear because I know that an unsightly finished canvas just requires a new layer of white to be used again.
Now, if that were me, I'd have to have a lot of white paint laying around. So, Matthias, how has your work changed over time?
It hasn't, but I think, like most artists, I work in phases. Phases are, I would say, dictated by my mood or circumstances. And they are guided and influenced by things that move me. I would say my style is who I am, and my inspiration is the color.
I think that can be said of just about every artist, whether it's music, painting, photography, sculpting. Their style defines them. So what's your style, Matthias?
I always say I am Mabo and my style is Mabo.
Okay.
It's a type of abstract, my type. It was not intentional. My style, and I guess like many artists, developed and evolved over time. It started to emerge, and over the years, I began to notice a pattern. I hadn't intended, but I'm now pleased with.
Right.
I would say some people have labeled my work as too colorful.
Okay.
Indeed, my favorite color is the mottly, or like we would say in German, meine Lieblingsfarbe ist bunt.
Well, I won't try to repeat that. But let me ask you this question. If you were stranded on a desert island with only one type of brush and one color of paint, what would you prefer those be?
I would probably pick an extra large brush and the color black, assuming that the background is white.
Depending on where you're stranded, there could be a lot of white sand.
Yes.
So what other artists are you influenced by?
Oh boy. There are way too many. I'm influenced by great masters and not so well-known painters. I'm a big fan of Dale Ciuli. I love Kandinsky, Rothko, Picasso, to name just a few. Another local artist, Paul Gosen, whom I have been friends for over 20 years. I consider him not only a great friend, but also my mentor. But like I said, quite often it's the unknown artist who gives me inspirations. I go to lots of art shows, galleries. I travel a lot, mostly Europe. And I spent lots of time in Mexico. That's a very colorful country, as everybody knows. And, of course, the Internet is a great tool to look up artists and their work.
Interesting. You mentioned Dale Chihuly earlier, and I have to tell you that I was on a recent business trip to Seattle where I visited the Dale Chihuly Museum and Exhibition. And it was just amazing, the things he can do with glass, and the colors were so beautiful. I saw whole ponds with glass canoes and boats and glass flowers and plants, and it was like a surreal jungle of colored glass.
Yeah, he's great.
Thinking about other aspects of the art world, funding comes to mind. What are your thoughts on funding and funding for the arts? Have you ever done anything, taken part in any funding, applied for it? Basically, how do you feel about funding for the arts?
Arts funding, they're great when you get them, the grants I'm talking about. I personally never applied for any art grants. In order to receive a grant, there's always some form of proposal or an application that's required. Call me lazy. I just can't be bothered.
I see.
My personal take on this is a grant is for emerging artists. They need all the help they can get, and that includes grant funding. I don't know if that sounds a little over the top, but I have always financed my own projects.
That's awesome. I mean, it's very admirable. I mean, a lot of artists can't do that, but you're one of the lucky ones that's been able to do that. When we talk about your art, at what point in your process, every artist has their own process, at what point do you feel like that your painting or your work is almost complete?
My experience tells me when I'm done. As an abstract artist, you have to be very careful not to overdo your work. You have to know when to stop. Sometimes little is much. In the past, when I was still inexperienced, I've screwed up works. I just didn't know when to drop the brush. Picasso once said, "All my life I wanted to paint like a child," which basically means you have to stop in time. Leave parts unfinished or out of proportion. We've all seen drawings and pictures done by kids. So when they get bored, they just stop and walk away. So there's a leg missing. The shirt is colored only halfway. You know what I'm saying, Kevin.
Right, right. You've obviously had a lot of experiences. So off the cuff, can you tell us about one of your most unusual experiences?
Let me think a second. Oh, yeah. Okay, years ago, I was teamed up with a good friend. He's an artist as well, and we did wall murals together. I remember working together in an upscale condo in Toronto when, let's just call him John, so he doesn't get in trouble. He tripped some paint on an expensive-looking oriental rug.
Oh, my goodness.
Oil paint, I might add. We did not realize till the next morning when we returned. The owners were gone for the week, and they had left the keys to us. And baby blue was not part of the carpet design. So John painted that part of the rug with colors he carefully mixed and matched. And I must say, he did an excellent job. I couldn't tell after.
That's ingenious.
The owner, however, did. And that was the funny part. When he paid the bill for the mural, he told us, by the way, he loved the mural. But he did say, don't worry about the carpet. We're going to get a new one anyway. So he must have realized it. You couldn't tell, but I guess if you let your hands go over the carpet, you could feel the different texture.
That's hilarious. Okay, so on another track, I'm a young art student. And I come to you and I ask you for some advice. What's the best piece of advice you've been given?
You are never done learning, my father always told me. And that's so true.
All right. So looking down the road, what projects are you currently working on?
I'm working on a new series of paintings for an upcoming art show. So as always, they're pretty colorful, that much I can say. Work in progress, so I will not reveal too much at this time. I guess you need to come to the show or to my upcoming shows in the near future.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll give some details at the end of this broadcast. Matthias, legacies are always important to artists. Artists always want to leave a legacy, and their legacy is speaks volumes about the kind of person and the kind of artist they were. How will you know that you've been successful in art?
How do I know that I've been successful in art? Let's put it this way. I've been creating art for over 35 years. Over 1,000 works. Did I sell them all? Of course not. It's a labor of love, but the feedback I've gotten over the years was mostly positive. I never take negative comments personal to begin with. As we know, you can argue about taste. I know I'm good and people love my art. Because of that, I know I'm already successful.
Cool. Let's talk about some of your other talents. I understand you're also a writer.
Yes, that's true. I have my own publishing company. I have written a 500-page family biography, several short stories, and currently I'm working on a new book about the natives of the Niagara region.
That's the Niagara region in Ontario, Canada.
Ontario, Canada, that's right. I love to write, always have and always will. I've also published Becoming a Hero. That's actually written by my daughter, Anushka. And Volume 1 of Poemas y Reflexiones de la Vida. That's a rather large collection of poems and reflections on life written by my wife. That book is in Spanish, and we're working on Volume 2. That will be coming out by the end of next year.
So what does retirement look like for you?
Retirement? What a strange word is that. There's no such thing for an artist. Perhaps I may start painting one day, but as an artist, you never stop being an artist. Artists never retire.
You're right about that. I know, being an artist myself, there's always ideas. You lay in bed at night and you get ideas, and the next thing you know, you're up at 2 in the morning in your office or your studio creating. It never goes away.
That's right, Kevin. I sometimes dream up my next projects, or just before I fall asleep, different pictures or ideas crossing my mind, and with those in my head, I fall asleep, and of course, the next morning, I take notes and start a new project sometimes right away.
Absolutely. Like for me as a songwriter, I know that if I think of a melody at night, and if I wake up in the morning and I can still remember that same melody, or 2 days from now, that melody's still in my head, it's got to be worth pursuing because it's memorable and it means something to me. So where can we reach you if we're interested in commissioning you for some work or some projects? Do you have a website?
Yes, the website is called mabo-art.com. This is the place to go. My website has all the infos and links, like phone numbers, email, Facebook, and Instagram, etc.
Awesome. So we'll make sure we put that up with your interview. So finally, in closing, Matthias, what would you like to be your legacy? What would you want people to say about you and your work?
I'm happy when people like my art. By my art, and I'm grateful and honored about the smallest compliments. For example, when my children tell me that they love a particular painting, this is just as rewarding and flattering as getting praise, let's say, from the Queen of England. And my legacy, well, I don't know. Time will tell. I just hope that one day when I get carried out to my final resting place, it would be nice if people would admire my crazy, colorful, hand-painted coffin. That's my idea of leaving. And so they could say, look at that crazy guy. Here he goes, as colorful as his life was.
Going out in style.
That's it.
Okay, well, Matthias, I'd like to thank you on behalf of A Different Drummer and Blog Talk Radio for coming into the studio and doing this interview for me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me on your show.
I'm Kevin Richard Hote. Thanks again to Matthias Bork, a.k.a. Mabo. You can see his website at www.mabo-art.com. That's mabo-art.com. And this has been A Different Drum. Bye for now.